There are times in your life when you are in special need of God's encouragement and God's comfort. And God knows when those times are. And frequently in those times, he will speak his encouragement to and through those of his people who are willing to cooperate with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Angel, I experienced such a time in May of 2017, and I've shared the story before of how we were robbed of thousands of dollars, and I've shared the story with the emphasis on the God who provides. But today I would like to revisit that story, and I would like to talk about the God who speaks, the God who works through promptings of the Spirit. And I'd like you to see how there was just cooperation between God's people when it came to following these subjective promptings of the Spirit that led to such a remarkable experience of God's encouragement and God's provision and God's comfort. So in May of 2017, Angel and I were getting ready to buy her a new car, and we've been saving up some cash for a while. And so we got to the point where we were close enough to start shopping. So we sold her existing car and took that cash and combined it with the cash that we had saved, and we were looking around for a car. So one day I went to look at a car that I had seen on Craigslist, took my cash with me, went, checked out the car, didn't want it, came back home, and when I got home, the garage door wouldn't open. And I thought, well, this is odd. And so I got out of the car, and in the process of starting to deal with my garage door, completely forgot that I had thousands of dollars in cash sitting in my car. So I'm calling my landlord, trying to figure out what's going on, and I end up eventually going inside. Well, perfect storm, a number of things happened that day that had never happened before and basically haven't happened since. First, my car was not in the garage that night. Second, I had a bunch of cash in the car. Third, I left my doors unlocked. And fourth, that night we had a break-in to our car. And all the money was gone. Right as we are starting to plant this church, we've lost our car. We've lost the money to buy a car. And we found ourselves faced with some rather desperate circumstances. And I found myself in that moment wanting to go into survival mode. I found myself wanting to just, okay, we just need to hunker down. We need to hoard everything that we've got. We're going to come up with a plan. We'll find some sort of cheap something somewhere. And so I was, this microphone is desperate circumstances right now. So I was trying to figure out, what are we going to do? And I found myself wanting to start to clutch everything that I had left because I didn't feel like I had enough. And as I was praying, I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed this thought on my spirit. I felt like he said, Barry, what if you went the other direction? And a scripture came to my mind in that moment, and it was the scripture where Jesus talks to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler says, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus ends up telling him, there's one thing you lack. Sell everything you have, give it all away to the poor, and come follow me. And I felt like the Lord was prompting on me that this might be a somewhat of a rich young ruler season for me. Not that I was going to sell everything, but I felt like what he was saying was, Barry, instead of hoarding, what if you gave away all your extra? And I countered him with, yeah, but God, the proverb says that go to the ant and be wise, and the ant like saves up for the winter. And so that was my counter offer to God, and he comes back with me. He's like, what if you went the other direction? What if you gave away all your extra? And so I'm arguing with God, and I'm like, well, this is really subjective. Like, that's a really risky thing to do. What if this isn't God? You know, God doesn't really seem like a very wise time to do this. We're just planting a church. We don't have enough money as it is. There's hardly any. I don't even know if the church is going to be able to pay me. Where is this extra money going to come from? And yet I felt like he kept saying, what if you went the other direction? What if you gave away all your extra? And I couldn't shake the thought. And so I sought some counsel. I talked to some friends, and I said, man, I, I'm wondering if the Lord's actually asking us to clear out the extra that we have and give it all away. And we wanted to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, but it was a very subjective prompting. And what if we're wrong? And now we have no money. Well, after prayer, we felt prompted to proceed. And we felt to give away our money in three different stages. And so there was one family that we knew had a medical need. And so we decided, okay, we're going to give the first third of our, we're basically emptying our savings account was what it was. And felt to give the first third to this family. So we did. And a couple days later, a neighbor that I'd only talked to once in the 3 years that we'd lived there, he lived kind of around the corner and down the street, they came and knocked on the door and introduced themselves, and they said to me, "We felt impressed to give you this." And they handed me an envelope, and I opened up the envelope, and in it was, to the dollar, the exact amount we had just given away. I remember thinking, wow, that was quite the coincidence. Well, we felt to give the next third away to two different families that we knew had a need. And again, within a couple of days, from an unexpected source, we found someone offered to cover some summer travel that we had to do across the country. And it came out they were willing to cover exactly the amount of dollars that we had just given away. I was like, oh, wow. So at this point, I'm like, well, this seems like more than a coincidence. I'm kind of picking up on God's pattern. So I'm pretty excited to give away the last third. And we actually set aside the last third for the special offering we had, the special Connection Point offering. It was a year ago, October. And sure enough, it was the very next day, we found out that Angel's boss, he decided just to give her a summer bonus for no reason. And we don't know the exact dollar amount it came to because the taxes came out of it and all that stuff. But it was really close, if not to the exact dollar, of what we had just given away. And I'm like, wow, we tried to give away all of our extra, and then God just immediately gave it back to us in the exact amounts. And then, so this is the very next day after my wife found out about the bonus, a friend came up to us, not knowing that we had been looking to buy a used, either a Honda Accord or a Toyota Camry, came and said, "We felt impressed to give you our car." And I got the keys to a Honda Accord that was a couple thousand dollars nicer than I would have been able to afford. And I remember thinking, this is just incredible. And I thought, you know, game over, story over. This is the best story over. Well, it wasn't the end of the story. I got a call from a pastor friend of mine, and he said, "You know, Barry, we felt prompted to bless you." And so I checked in with another couple pastors in the area, and we heard you were robbed, and we each would like to contribute some money. And I actually had to tell him, he's like, "You know what? God gave us a car. We got a better car than we thought. We actually don't have the need anymore." And he said, "Well, let me get back to you." And he called the other pastors, and then he called back. He's like, "You know what? We believe in you and your ministry, and we just want you to have this money anyways." I actually came out $3,000 ahead with a nicer car. And as I was going through all this, I just felt like the Lord was speaking to me through these circumstances. And it's kind of hard when the circumstances are that obvious not to have the ears to recognize that God is saying something. And what God was telling me is, "Barry, I've got this. I know you're nervous when it comes to planting a church. I know you're wondering, where's the money going to come from?" And that really was the biggest fear. And I felt like God was saying, "Barry, as you face those moments of uncertainty, I want you to remember how I knew the exact dollar amount that you gave away, and I orchestrated the timing to give you the exact dollar amount right when you needed it. I knew the exact car that you were looking for, and I orchestrated for someone to give you a nicer version of what you thought you needed at the right time. And if you can trust me with your finances personally, you can also trust me with your finances when it comes to the church." Now, what I want you to notice about this story is the extensive cooperation with the Holy Spirit among God's people that it took in order for this to happen? What if our neighbor had been unwilling to cooperate with the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Well, I wouldn't be telling you the story. What if our friend who gave us the car had been unwilling to cooperate with the prompting of the Spirit? Well, again, I wouldn't be telling you this story. What if those pastors had not been willing to act on the prompting of the Spirit and share it with me? What if Angel and I had, I mean, it's really subjective. Like, did God really say, what if you go the other direction? Did he really bring the rich young ruler to my mind? What if we had been unwilling to cooperate with the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Well, we would have missed a special experience of God's encouragement and comfort. To minimize the promptings of the Holy Spirit is to put limitations on your experience of God's encouragement and comfort. I'll say that again. To minimize the promptings of the Spirit is to put limitations on your experience of God's encouragement and comfort. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in these past couple weeks. We've been in verse 1 where Paul says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And the reason he's telling the church to so eagerly desire this gift of prophecy is because of what it does for the church. It brings comfort to the church. It brings encouragement to the church, and he's telling them, you should want this, you should pursue this, you should be open to this. And so this morning is the third of three messages where we're actually looking at this gift of prophecy. The first week, we defined it as telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind, and it's something that brings conviction or encouragement or consolation to the church. And then last week, we looked at listening and how listening is subjective. And I defended from Scripture that it was actually in Paul's head that prophecy is subjective. And when he asked the church to eagerly desire prophecy, he was asking them to pursue something that he knew was subjective. And this morning, we're going to talk about, okay, so if I do think I'm hearing something from God, what do I do with it? Or if someone else comes to me and they think they've heard something from God, what should I do with that? And today's where it gets really, really practical. So the big takeaway for this morning is eagerly desire prophecy by cooperating with the promptings of the Spirit. And that's where we're going to zero in today. Cooperating with the promptings of the Spirit. And today's going to be broken up into three sections. First, we're going to talk about listening for the promptings of the Spirit. Second, we're going to talk about speaking the promptings of the Spirit. And then third, we are going to talk about receiving from others promptings of the Spirit. So first, listen for the promptings of the Spirit. And we covered this in part last week. In what ways might the Spirit prompt? And last week, we talked about how the Spirit might prompt through an audible voice, how he might prompt through visions, how he might prompt through dreams. And we explained that those are a little bit more rare. Some of those I've never experienced, and some of those many believers have not experienced. But today, I want to talk more about what I think happens on a fairly regular basis and what you can expect to happen on a fairly regular basis. And so as I talk about listening for the promptings of the Spirit, we're going to talk about listening to the Spirit to prompt words, or listening for the Spirit to prompt words, and listening for the Spirit to prompt actions. So first, listen for the Spirit to prompt words. And I'm actually not so concerned with the label of prophecy as I am with ordinary believers being led by the Spirit of God and expecting him to speak through their words. Because when we look through Scripture, not everyone prophesies. But everyone speaks words of truth. And it's in my heart that we would be a congregation where each person on a regular basis is listening for God and saying, would you use my words? God, is there something that you would have me to share? Is there something that you would show me that would encourage someone else? Is there something that you would have me to speak? And God desires to speak through his people in all kinds of ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we read this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. That's one type of words the Lord might inspire. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, prophecy. You see how the Lord is inspiring words in various ways through his people? In chapter 14, which we'll be getting to later. Paul says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn or a lesson or a revelation. You see how Paul's expecting more than just the pastor to be using their words? Each one. God's inspiring each of us in various ways to use our words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, encourage one another and build one another up. Hebrews 3:13, Paul says, exhort one another every day. So listen for the promptings of the Spirit and listen for the Spirit to prompt words. Also, listen for the Spirit to prompt actions. And we're not going to focus as much on this, but the Spirit sometimes prompts you and says, do this. That was my experience. Like, really? Supposed to give away our extra? And that's what the others felt. It was more of an action. Why don't you give Barry your car? Why don't you give Barry this money? And the Spirit inspires our various giftings and then asks us to use them through various actions. So in Romans 12, Paul says we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And he says, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And so there, use words as the Lord prompts. But then he goes on to say, if service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So listen throughout the day, throughout the week. Be listening. God, is there something that I should share? God, is there something that I should do? And then you say, so Barry, how might the Spirit prompt? How do I know if a prompting is from him or not? And last week we talked about some of the really obvious, very objective ones, like an audible voice or a vision, and somewhat more subjective would be a revelatory dream. But today we're going to talk about something that's far more normal. And I want to give you an overview of the ways that the Lord might speak, and then we're going to spend the majority of our service talking about how to actually share it, how to follow through and share it, and then how to receive when someone else shares it. And so the Spirit prompts through Scripture. And if you choose only one, choose that one. That's what started the whole thing with my car story. Is this Scripture came to mind, the rich young ruler. And I felt like God said, what if you went the other direction? What if you went this direction? God will bring Scripture to your mind. God will give impressions to your spirit. And again, in my story, we saw this happen a number of times. Our neighbors felt impressed to give money. Our friends felt impressed to give a car. I felt the impression that God was saying it was just a thought, but it seems like a God thought. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have thought this. What if you went the other direction? Sometimes God will impress something and it would just seem to come alive in your heart. God also prompts through circumstances. The exact dollar amount, the exact timing, the exact car I was looking for. And this story actually has a second part, which I'm going to get to at the very end. But God's remarkable use of circumstances spoke something to my heart that he returned to a couple months later. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through prayer. When I finish the story, we're going to see I had an unusual outpouring of prayer. And then also it was accompanied with what I would consider a divine emotion. I had this unusual, like I was actually sobbing for 25 minutes. Then that is not me, if you know me. And it just, it's like I knew this wasn't me. I wasn't just emotional that day. Like something was happening. There's all these various ways. God sometimes gives you a strong emotion. Sometimes you're praying for someone and you find yourself praying something. You're like, I didn't even know I cared about this. And yet something comes alive in your spirit and it just gushes out of you. And oftentimes the Lord is showing you something through that will encourage that person. And oftentimes if you pray for someone and that prayer comes alive in your heart and then you turn around and share it with them later, you'll find that the Lord was giving you a prayer that exactly matched what they were going through. He's giving you a prayer that exactly matched what they needed. These are all ways that the Spirit can prompt. And so what I'd like to build a culture of is a church that practices what I call listening prayer. Now, I thought I came up with that term, but then I read a book by J.D. Greer, and he used that term, so I don't know if I heard it somewhere or if I came up with it, but I think it's a good term. I think it's a good term, this idea that we're regularly in dialogue with God, and it's not only me talking to God. I'm also asking, Lord, are you showing me anything? Are you prompting me with anything? Is there something you would have me to share? Is there something you would have me to do? Is there something that you would have me to know? I know John Piper says that this is one of the ways that he eagerly desires prophecy. He says he'll be out jogging, and he knows he's supposed to evangelize, but he passes so many different people. He's like, I don't know that I can evangelize every single person I pass. And so as he's jogging, he'll be asking, God, is there someone that I'm passing that you'd have me to speak to? Is there someone in particular that maybe you'd have me to share with? And he says, you know, most often he just keeps jogging, but every so often he'll feel a prompting inside that person. And that's the person that he'll go talk to. And sometimes he feels like he has a question or something in particular to ask them. Listening prayer. I know Holly's told me that at times during the music, she'll be sitting out here singing or on the stage singing, and she'll be asking God, is there someone that you would want me to pray for afterwards? To see if God impresses something on her heart. This happened to Philip. You remember the story where he meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch is in the chariot, and it says that the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, how'd that happen? I don't know. He either had some sort of impression or some sort of emotion or some sort of vision or he heard a voice, but what happened? He followed that prompting. The Lord directed it to someone who was ready to receive the word, and the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, and then Philip just disappeared and appeared somewhere else, and I'd love to have that happen, but it's never happened to me. He was listening. So that's a skill. Some of us never hear from God because we never expect that God might speak to us, and so we're never listening. We're never asking him to speak, but that can change. When you find your attention drawn to someone during the music time, to say, God, should I pray with her afterwards? When you hear about someone who's hurting, talk to the Lord. God, is there an encouragement that you would have me to share with that person? When you're at your connection group, God, how should I use my spiritual gift to build people up? Can I use my words to bring comfort or encouragement? When you hear about a practical need, God, how might you be calling me to help? Listen for the promptings of the Spirit. So if you listen for the promptings of the Spirit, and you feel like, okay, I think I've received something. I think I'm supposed to go share with someone. So then what do you do? And that brings us to our second point this morning. So the first was listen for the promptings of the Spirit. And the second is speak the promptings of the Spirit. I know I mentioned earlier that the Spirit sometimes prompts actions. And so if he prompts you with an action, go ahead and do it. But we are in the middle of a study that's talking more about prophecy. And then we're also broadening it to any different types of words that the Lord might inspire. And so we're going to focus this morning on speaking the words that the Lord prompts in your heart. And there's three different ways that you can kind of confirm that, yes, a prompting is from the Spirit. And the first of these is that Spirit-prompted speech will edify. edify. That just means it will build people up. It will strengthen them. And we see this in Corinthians 12 and 14. Paul writes, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So prophecy, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, those are all manifestations of the Spirit. And Paul says that it's given for the common good. It builds people up. It edifies. 14 verse 3, he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. If the prompting that you feel inside is going to build people up, it's going to strengthen them, it's going to comfort them, then that is one indication that this might be the Holy Spirit at work. Chapter 14, verse 24, Paul says, if all prophesy, an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted. Speaking the promptings of the Spirit will edify. It encourages people. It comforts people. It convicts people. I've experienced this encouragement on a number of occasions. When I was getting ready to plant the church, and I finally decided, yes, God has called me to do this. I needed to go and submit my call to the elders at the church where I was attending. And I'd only been attending there like 2.5 months. And so this was a really kind of a, you know, this isn't like really my church, and yet I don't want to be a maverick church planter, so I want to submit to some governing body somewhere. So I was at Indian Trail at the time, and I set up a time to go meet with their elders, and that morning I was out praying, and it was a very emotional and stress-filled prayer time, because I was trying to figure out, God, what exactly am I asking for? Because I knew I wanted to ask for their help and their blessing, and I was trying to figure out what to ask, and then I was like, God, could you just give me an open door? Like, they're elder-led, and 9 men have to be in consensus before any decision is made. And if you know about elder bodies that have to rule by consensus, which is a very common model, but sometimes it becomes a bit of a joke how long it can take to make a decision because 9 guys have to agree on it. And it can take months and months and months, and a lot of times things don't happen because 9 guys weren't unanimous. And I'm not saying that just true of Indian Trail, but any church that has a by consensus, it can take a while to make a decision, and there needs to be discussion and prayer. But I didn't have time. My money was about to run out. I needed to get started. And so I was praying that morning, like, God, can you give me clarity? And could you just open this door? Well, while I was having my prayer time, I got a text from someone that I hadn't seen in months, and I actually had no reason to believe that would reach out to me. And he felt a prompting by the Spirit to pray for me, and then he felt a prompting by the Spirit to share what he had been praying, and it absolutely encouraged me. I got this text, and it said, hey, Barry, just praying for you this morning that you would have a clear, open door moving forward. The two things I was out praying for about 45 minutes were clarity and an open door. He texted me that he was praying, he felt prompted to pray for me for those two exact things. And you know what that did inside of me? It just encouraged me to know that God is in this. So I went into that meeting with no fear. I went into that meeting actually filled with confidence. I went into that meeting knowing, okay, God's going to do this. God's confirming that he's in this. He's actually raising up other intercessors to pray that this very thing happens. And so when I shared with the elders that night, they followed up with me a couple of days later, and 2 of them met with me, and I still remember what one of them said. I don't know exactly what happened, but we were joyfully unanimous that this is of God, and we're going to help, and we're going to give you $15,000, and we're going to tell our people about this, and like 30 people from Indian Trail are now here with us, and they were our first financial donor. Someone was paying attention to a prompting of the Spirit, and it absolutely encouraged me. The Spirit will prompt you to say things that will encourage. He'll prompt you to say things that will bring comfort. In our connection group lately, we have been saving time at the end just for personal ministry time. And we'll be real quiet, and we'll ask God to speak to our heart. God, is there someone that you would like to bless right now? And if so, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? And the first week we did this, there was only eight of us there. And so we had this time of silence. And four people out of the eight felt the same prompting to pray for the same person. And one of them spoke up and said, "Man, I just feel to tell you that God will never reject you." And then the person immediately responded, and she's like, "Oh man, there's some anxiety going on." And she's like, "God's just been saying to me over and over this week, I will never reject you." It was the exact words that she'd been struggling to believe, that God had been trying to encourage her to believe. Someone else said, "Man, I just feel to speak into your life, and God wants you to know that he's not going to reject you." And so then what ends up happening is comfort is spoken to that person's heart. "Yeah, I know the Bible says that he'll never leave me or forsake me," but all of a sudden someone comes at the exact right time and uses the exact language of what I'm thinking that maybe God's speaking to my heart, but struggling to believe. And then there's tears coming, and this person is saying, I'm just not a crier. I never cry. Like I hate crying. But when God comforts your heart in these ways, very frequently, your heart breaks in good ways that are new to you. I don't care how stoic you are. When God decides he wants to comfort you, you're going to find your heart moved in new ways. And that's what prophetic utterance does. It comforts people. God knows exactly what truth you need to hear. And when you need to hear it, and he knows how to direct you to certain particular truths, and when a body of believers begins to listen and expect that God will use their words, our experience of these more extraordinary examples of God's encouragement and comfort become more common. Spirit-prompted speech will edify. It encourages others. It comforts others. And notice the emphasis on others. Speaking these words, it's about others. It's not about the speaker. At Corinth, they were trying to use their gifts to elevate their own status. And so Paul has to come along and say, "Man, if you operate your gifts, but you don't have love, you mean nothing. Are you trying to be spectacular and draw attention to yourself and your gifting? Or are you seeking to love and strengthen someone else?" Spirit-prompted speech will edify. Spirit-prompted speech also aligns with Scripture. So I encourage people to connect the dots to Scripture wherever possible. It's one of the ways that you know that what you're saying is a prompting of the Spirit is because it supports or matches or is a Scripture. Paul says in Corinthians 14, "If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized." So what Paul's saying here is no prophet is going to get a true revelation that counters Paul's writings. And what we're supposed to understand from that is any prompting that we think we receive that doesn't match the apostolic record, that doesn't match the Scripture that we have written down once for all, is not a spirit prompting. Spirit-prompted speech aligns with Scripture. It will never contradict Scripture, and it's why it's so important that we know our Bibles. It's not subjective promptings that govern our life. So I'm encouraging us to pursue these, but it would be a great error to think, "Well, God can just prompt me with anything, so who really needs the Bible anymore? God can just tell me what I need when I need it." No. No, if this is going to happen well, and if this is going to happen with health, it's going to be because there are people who dive into the Word and know how to compare what they think that they are receiving to the Word in order to test whether this prompting really is from the Spirit or not. Spirit-prompted speech aligns with Scripture. It will never contradict Scripture. It doesn't establish new doctrines. It doesn't modify any existing doctrine. It doesn't add new rules, new regulations, new behavior standards to the Scripture. We saw a couple months ago that the foundation of our faith was once for all delivered to the saints. It's finished. Scripture stands supreme over all subjective promptings, and Scripture judges all subjective promptings. Promptings never are elevated to the level of Scripture. Spirit-prompted speech aligns with Scripture. It encourages others to live according to established truth. J.I. Packer writes, "Ordinarily, a prophetic revelation is a God-prompted application that in general terms had been revealed already, rather than a disclosure of divine thoughts and intentions not previously known and not otherwise knowable." So it's not giving new truth. In general, prophetic revelation is helping us to live out the truth that's already been revealed. So I'd like to share another story from our connection group that this happened last week, in our second week of just listening for the Spirit's prompting. And so at the close of the service, we had some time of silence. And again, there was a consensus where a number of people felt just out of the blue to speak or pray for a specific individual. And several different people spoke out. And I'm going to mention two. The first person shared that it's not God's plan for you to be bored spiritually. I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that God desires to give you a new excitement in areas that have felt dull. And then the question was asked, are there areas where you feel bored spiritually? And then the person responded, well, actually, when I was growing up, reading was used as a punishment. And so reading has very negative connotations, has had negative connotations for me ever since I was young, so I don't like to read, and it keeps me from wanting to read the Word. And so that just led us into a time of, well, let's pray. Let's pray for you that the Lord would change the way that you're wired, change this negative connotation. And then right then, a second speaker spoke up who had also had something similar revealed, and she mentioned, you know, I had a picture of you on a log water ride, like you would go to at an amusement park. And at first, you were not wet. You were still going up. And I felt like that represented spiritual dryness. But then you made it over the top, and you began to gain some momentum going down, and you splashed into this water of refreshing. And I felt like I was supposed to tell you that God's word is that refreshing. And I felt the Lord brought Psalm 19 to mind. And so she opened her Bible, again, connecting the dots to Scripture, and read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." It's like there's a refreshing for you in the Word of God. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." And so here we had a time of silence where we asked the Lord, "Who might you want to bless?" And then a number of people were directed towards the same individual with promptings that were aimed towards the same thing. And it wasn't new doctrine. Do you see how the Lord was encouraging someone to live according to existing truth? Encouraging someone to press in to something that he already knew was good with the promise that there was life there and that God would cause excitement to come where previously there might have been dullness. That's what promptings of the Spirit do. They encourage us and give us direction to live out established truth. So the Bible tells us to make disciples, but a spirit prompting might clarify exactly who you should disciple. The Bible might tell you only marry a believer, but it might take a spirit prompting to know which believer that you should marry. The Bible tells you not to neglect church, but a spirit prompting can help you know which church. The Bible tells you to love your neighbor, but a spirit prompting can help you know exactly which neighbor should I focus on right now, and in what ways should I love them. Spirit-prompted speech aligns with Scripture, encourages people to live in accordance with truth. So speak the promptings of the Spirit. If it's a prompting of the Spirit, it will edify, it will align with Scripture. And thirdly, the Spirit-prompted speech has humility. Look what Paul says in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. Paul's actually asking here for humility. A humble speaker is willing to have their words weighed. Paul says, if you think you've heard from the Spirit, let others weigh it. That takes humility. A humble speaker is willing to have their words silenced. Paul imagines a scenario where someone's speaking, what they feel like the Spirit has prompted them to speak, but someone else has something to share, and that first person needs to let their words be silenced. That takes humility. A humble speaker is actually willing not only to have their words be silenced, but to have their words be disregarded. In Acts, we saw this last week, that Paul received some Spirit-inspired speech urging him not to go to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 21, verse 12, Agabus comes and prophesies what would happen to Paul if he goes to Jerusalem. And then Luke says, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. So there are some people who felt like Paul was not supposed to go to Jerusalem. They shared it with him, and Paul weighed it. And we talked about this last week. He came to the conclusion, okay, yes, the Lord has shown you that suffering awaits me in Jerusalem. I'm going to cling to that. But this part, your conclusion that I should therefore not go to Jerusalem, I feel like that's false. I feel like the Lord has called me to go to Jerusalem, and yes, I'm going to suffer, but God is in it. And so he didn't follow their instructions. He didn't follow their instructions. And so when you have a prompting that you offer to someone, if it includes any sort of directive advice, then you need to be willing to have your words disregarded. Piper says, offer it as a gift. Don't thrust it as a demand. Share it, then move on. A humble speaker is willing to have their words disregarded. A humble speaker understands that listening for the promptings of the Spirit is subjective. And so this is a really important section of the message right now. Understanding how subjective the promptings of the Spirit should affect how you deliver the words you feel are prompted by the Spirit. It means you should use words that are tentative. It means that you should talk softly. Use things like, it seems, or maybe, you know, it seems to me like maybe I have a thought. I got this sense inside that maybe the Lord is indicating. You know, I just got a picture that popped into my head. I had this thought. Instead of saying, God told me, I got a prophecy for you. We need to use words that leave room for dialogue. So unless the angel Gabriel appears to you and you're like falling dead at his feet and you're hearing something from him, I would suggest that you avoid saying, thus says the Lord. Talk softly. This God told me. So if you say that in a dogmatic, case-closed sort of tone, there's just no more room for dialogue. And I've been around people who do this. God told me this. God told me that. And they come to share something with you. And God told me that. And just, well, I can't argue with God. So I don't think that's God. But I don't want to get in an argument right now. There's a lack of awareness of how subjective this is. And it ends up coming across with a great deal of pride. And I think when the Spirit is speaking, not only will the revelation be from him, but the manner in which it's delivered will be from him. And so use words that leave room for dialogue. Use words that avoid controversy. My desire for Connection Point Church is that we are a church where people can come in and take some of their first steps into some of these gifts of the Spirit. And if we're throwing around terms like prophecy and visions and revelation, people aren't going to take any steps into the Spirit. They're just going to take steps out the door. And so my preference, actually, because prophecy means something different to most people today than I think what the Scripture meant by it. I think when most people think of prophecy today, they think of words on par with Scripture, or they think of Nostradamus, or they think of someone predicting when Jesus is going to come back. I find that the term is actually not all that helpful unless you have time to explain exactly what it is you mean by it. And so I would encourage us to use that term sparingly, if at all, similar when we talk about visions or revelations. I don't think we need to use those words. I think we can just talk about, man, I had this thought from the Lord. And who cares if it was a prophecy or a vision or a revelation or what it was, or if it was a word of encouragement or utterance of wisdom. We don't have to label it. If it's from God and if he's at work, it's going to land with power. It's not you calling it a prophecy that makes it have authority. If it's from God, it'll have authority. If it's not from God, doesn't matter what you call it, it's not going to have any authority. So I'd encourage us, to not use terms that are going to be problematic. And one of the ways where this will help our unity is there may be a number of people that come to church here and they're not sure if they believe in prophecy. But almost everyone believes that the Spirit will prompt and encourage others through our words. And so if we're using terms that are kind of consistent from tribe to tribe, then we can disagree on if we call that a prophecy or if we just call that a word of encouragement. And so I think there's room for more streams to come together. So I would just encourage us. I know the Bible uses the words prophecy, vision, and revelation. They're scriptural. So if someone uses it, I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to say they're sinning. Those are the words the Bible uses. I do think for the unity of our church, it might be best if we use softer terms that won't be misunderstood. That's just my opinion. I also know that a humble speaker, since we understand that spirit promptings are subjective, we use words that are appropriate to the level of the revelation, not the level of your emotion. And what I mean by that is a lot of the stuff is so subjective. Even my great cool story about the car that God confirmed and made sure I knew that, yep, this really was from him. It was so subjective. And so for me to come out and say, well, God has said, to speak from, sometimes the emotions are really strong in those moments. The emotions can be much more clear than the revelation is. And so make sure that you don't get caught up in the emotion and use these kind of concrete, overly dogmatic terms. Use words that are appropriate to the level of revelation. There's this spectrum of objectivity. I know some people that have heard an audible voice, and if someone hears an audible voice from the Lord, all right, go ahead and say, God told me. That seems a little bit more objective. But most of the promptings I get, I have to kind of wrestle for a little bit. Was that just my own thought, or was that a thought from God? And so I think we should speak in such a way that reveals that uncertainty. Humble speakers use words that are natural. Natural words. Don't try to be amazing. Don't try to look supernatural. You don't need to try to prove that you've heard from God. If God's at work, even a quiet, simple truth will land with power. Let the Spirit be the source of power. Don't try to muster evidence for your supernaturalness. Use words that are natural. Spirit-prompted speech has humility. One last thing about humility. A humble speaker does not assume that revelation implies leadership. Scripture teaches the church to submit to the elders, not to the prophets. And he does not make prophecy a requirement for eldership. And so those who feel like they have this gift, that's not an excuse for them to circumvent leadership. Those with prophetic giftings are called to respect the elders, just as the rest of the church is called to respect the elders. And so, when you're listening for the promptings of God, if you feel like he's put something on your heart, and it seems like it's something that would edify, and it seems like it's something that aligns with Scripture, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to act on it, and I want you to be asking yourself, well, what if this is God? What if this is God? I'm going to try it and find out, instead of having the predominant question in your heart be, well, what if this isn't God? What if this isn't God? I'm afraid that I might make a mistake. I just want to encourage you, step out. Risk something. Nothing's really going to get hurt. What's the risk of you going to someone and saying, man, I felt like the Lord put this scripture on my heart, and I'd like to share it from you. What if it turned out that God didn't prompt you with that? It was just your own mind. What got hurt? Nothing got hurt. You shared a scripture with someone. Don't be so afraid of messing it up. If you're not saying, thus says the Lord, if you're not saying, I have a prophecy, if you're talking tentatively, then you're just starting a dialogue with a person about something that is constructive and encouraging and might build them up. So ask, what if it's God? And step out, take a risk. Remember, to minimize the promptings of the Spirit, if you never step out and act on what you think is a prompting of the Spirit, you put limitations on your experience of God's encouragement and comfort. You put limitations on the ways through which he can use you to encourage others and comfort others. So speak out those promptings of the Spirit. If you've got a verse or encouragement that comes to mind, share it. Someone from our connection group did that with me just this morning. So last night, as I went to bed, I usually choose a verse to meditate on, and I was feeling kind of frenetic last night and having a hard time calming down, and I was thinking about this message, and my heart was stirred in a good way, but stirred. And so I felt like the Lord brought to my mind Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. And so that's the verse that I went to bed thinking about. Well, I woke up this morning, and 20 minutes after I woke up, I got a text from Janelle Ballard over here, who's in our group. And she said, I was praying for you today and God's message to us that you would have his peace. And then she quotes this verse, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, there are 23,000 verses in the Bible. What are the odds that it's a coincidence that the verse that the Lord brought to my mind last night is the same verse that she, out of a prayer time, felt prompted to share with me this morning? Do you see how the Lord is just giving me a special kiss and saying, yes, I'm really in this verse? And out of all the verses that you could direct your attention to in the Bible, this is the one that I'm choosing for you right now. And so it brought me comfort and it brought me peace. And that led to my prayer time this morning. I was like, okay, I need to focus my attention on God. I don't need to worry. And God gives peace. If you have a verse or encouragement, share it with someone. Super encouraging. If a picture or thought comes to your mind, go tell the person about it and ask them, does this mean anything to you? Like the thought that was shared about spiritual boredom, do you sometimes feel spiritually bored? Instead of saying, God told me you're spiritually bored, it's just a question. Man, I had this thought that maybe God wants to bring spiritual excitement to some areas that have been dull. Do you sometimes struggle with spiritual boredom? Speak the promptings of the Spirit. If you feel directed to someone, ask them, can I pray for you? Is there anything in particular I can pray for you about? I love it when I see people praying after the service. God speaks and he works in special ways during those prayer times. Well, once again, I have more in this message than I have time to get to today. So the third part of this message is about receiving from the promptings of others. And we're going to end up having to pick this up next week. God, we ask that you would speak to us, and we ask that we would be willing to speak what we heard. In Jesus' name, amen.